Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Saturday morning, so we've got open lines. So if you've got a question or a comment that's not related to the series we're talking about, that's fine. Give us a call. Now, hopefully you'll be familiar with our ministry. We do have a different approach to a lot of different things. So if you've got a question on our approach or any of the things we talk about on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, feel free to give us a call and we'll address those questions on air. I've been getting some great questions, but what we're going to do is probably interrupt our series at some point and answer some questions. But for right now, I want to continue with our tithing versus giving series. And I hope we're all clear by now that what we're looking at is specifically not trying to interpret and apply yet and conclude yet. We're simply looking at what do the scriptures say about tithing, about the verb, not the noun of the tithe, but the verb. And again, our emphasis is on the two totally different words and totally different meanings that the scriptures use in regards to tithe. That the noun is basically a number, a tenth. And to tithe or tithing is a verb, and it's only falls into certain categories. And those are, unfortunately, to tithe is often we're told, as Christians, we're told that we are to give a tithe. Well, if you are commanded to give a tithe, those are not compatible. You can't command someone to give. And what has happened is we've confused the concept of giving and tithing. So that's why we're really looking at the distinction between the people who were commanded to tithe and you and I who are now givers. And so we don't give because we are commanded to or because God wants us to or any other reason other than your new nature is to give. That is who you now are. You are a giver. So it's not about why you do it. You don't need to have a motivation. It is who you are. This, though, causes us a lot of questions that we've got to address as far as what we're often told as far as supporting the church. And we'll get into that when we talk about giving, because that is something we want to address and settle. I can tell you now it's going to fall into the same lines of asking God, learning to hear from Him for ourselves, and following through on hearing what He has to say. Also recognizing that as a giving person, there's going to be times that you choose to give, that you want to give, and you give. And it doesn't start with God. You check with Him. But there may be times when He'll leave it up to you. And again, recognizing that we are givers, we want to make this learning how to give and all the ramifications of it a high priority. Now, we also have talked about, and we're going to reiterate real quickly now, that you can't give what belongs to someone else. So if you owe someone, if you're in debt to someone, you can't give that money to someone else. So, for instance, if you borrow your neighbor's lawnmower and a relative comes over, your brother comes over, and his lawnmower just broke and he wants to borrow yours, and say you want to give, you feel generous and you want to give to your brother, and you give the lawnmower that you've got in your garage to your brother. The problem is that's not your lawnmower. You've borrowed it from your neighbor. It's your neighbor's lawnmower. So your neighbor's going to come over and want his lawnmower back, and you're going to say, I gave it to someone else. It's the same way when we have borrowed money and then give to someone else. It's not yours if you owe it to someone else. It's theirs. Likewise, if you owe money, you can't be spending it. It's not yours to be spending on things that you want. We've all heard of so many situations where people in debt up to their eyeballs or not able to pay their mortgage, and yet they have 3 cars in the driveway, and of course one of them's brand new, you know, the big screen TV, and they all have cell phones. That's money that doesn't belong to you. That belongs to who you borrowed it from. And as Christians, now, and there's the distinction, okay, as Christians, we are new creatures. For us to live accepting debt, which is basically when you spend money the way you want and are in debt, you're stealing. You're keeping from paying back what you owe. Now, God's not going to get you, okay? That's all been settled. It's not, you're not, oh, I'm sinning, and so God's not going to be pleased with you. We're not going on guilt trips. But this is an example of how you are living according to your old nature and not your new nature. What is your new nature? Holy, righteous, incorruptible. So this is where we talk about, this is where your conscience kicks in. This is where there's your double-mindedness. You know something's wrong, but everybody does it. Even churches go out and borrow to build and then give to a needy ministry in another country. So we often are seeing within religious circles that contradiction, that hypocrisy. Again, we're not talking about a sin which separates us from God. It's hypocrisy that separates or strengthens a separation between our soul and our spirit. It's within us that we're running into problems. So since our focus is to become one, complete, entire, spirit, soul, and body, we want to look at ways that we are continuing to contribute to the flesh that separates our soul and spirit. As we see the simplicity of our challenge, that it's to look at, okay, is this consistent with God's nature, which is my new nature, and asking him, Lord, you know, this is confusing to me. You know, why is this happening? You have to make your decision for yourself. This is where, on the one hand, we do not judge other people's motives. But we are to learn to judge their actions. This is one of the reasons when we see people challenging others, like within an organized group, religious group, challenging others to give, and yet we see them, those very people, mismanaging their money. There, we recognize that as hypocrisy. Well, it's the same thing within us. When we have borrowed and yet make our own choices, spend the money the way we want to, whether it's going out to eat or buying something new or whatever, not being accountable for it, not knowing where our money's going. We within are not living according to our new nature. And again, it's not sinning, it's hypocrisy. You're not living according to who you truly are. You're reinforcing the wall between your spirit and your soul. So that's a quick, those are the main keys of one of the reasons why we're spending so much time on this, is because we are so challenged right now. For so many people, this is why they have such a struggle right now, going through difficult times, is because, not so much because they don't have any money or they've lost their job, but they've lost their connection with their true identity. They don't understand, maybe they never understood it to begin with, that they have all authority and all power and all freedom and all responsibility. And they may have been told that, someone may believe, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But they think, okay, if I just say that long enough and hard enough and concentrate on that enough, then good things will happen to me. Then I'll get a new job. Then someone will send me a check to pay for my mortgage. But that's not what that means. It means you develop that relationship where you learn to rule and reign here on this earth. And again, giving is so important because that is the essence of God's nature toward us. His basic nature toward us is that he formed and created and is crafting you, your life, to receive. To receive everything he wants to give. His desires, his creativity, his power, his love. When we say God is love, it's not an emotion. It's not a feeling. It's not us feeling secure or hoping that because we know he loves us, things will be all right. It's he gives us the power to make it right. He gives us the strength and the knowledge and the wisdom to grow up into his sons now, here on this earth, during our lifetimes, today, this very minute, this very second. He gives it. He has placed it all in your spirit. For him, it's finished. It's within us that we have that struggle. So the giving isn't, oh, we're learning to do something. It's we give because we have fully received. My definition of grace is to receive unconditionally what God gives unconditionally and just say thanks. It's not then, okay, now I have, if I've received this, now I have to know what I'm supposed to do with it. No, just say thank you. Learn to receive from him. Then ministry, which we're all called to ministry because it's not something we do, it's something we are. Ministry is giving unconditionally what God has given us unconditionally and just saying, you're welcome. So, again, when we look at when God says he loves us, it is expressed through his giving to us. So when we say God loves us unconditionally, it's not about a feeling he has for us. It's because he's crafted us from the very beginning to be able to receive who he is unconditionally and just say thanks, to be a fit vessel, a wineskin. Think about all the examples he has of who are, what our new nature is. It's a vessel to receive him. So in your spirit, you've received him. Now that needs to be is being poured out into our soul and eventually our body. So that's why we're settling all this about this tithing, because this issue confuses the whole giving and tithing thing. They are so totally different things. And when you are distributing funds, when you are I have a checklist that as long as I'm tithing, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing with my money. You are blocking God from teaching you about giving. So we want to really clear this off, because this is going to come back up. I mean, obviously it's been around for, I won't go through the history of the tithe, but it's been around long enough where it's very fully ingrained in our religious psyche, if you will, our belief system. So we want to understand, even if you don't believe in tithing, you want to know why. And so many go back to the whole, following the Bible thing, that this is their basis for authority. So we want to look at, okay, let's really look at what the scriptures really say. So we've been looking at tithing as laid out originally in the law of Moses. We looked before, and you can check out the archives, for tithing pre-codification, before law was written down. Now the law has been written down, and here's the summary of this one period in time, okay? And we go from era to era. This is what God relates to us according to the rules and regulations of relationship that he has set out for any given time, and that has changed over time. And we've talked about in our Monday series how we need to know the times and the seasons, because that's how we relate to God. This is where we get into trouble trying to combine law and grace, because we are no longer under law, but under grace. And if we try to live under both, we go back into living as a hypocrite. So we look at the points. We're going to go through a summary of points of what we've concluded about what the law of Moses commands about tithing. Okay, so this, we're talking about the institution, the law, the form. This is part of their life. This was part of their life as part of the commandment given by God through Moses to the Israelites. Now, there's hundreds of commandments as far as these are the things you must do in order to live as pleasing to God, in order to be a good Jew. We're only focusing on the tithing. But a lot of this, what you'll get is the principles that will apply to offerings and heave offerings and rules of the Sabbath and that kind of thing. Because what we want to learn is the difference, what we're learning is the difference between law and grace. So the first point we want to come away with is that one-tenth or a tithe of the produce of the land, the fruit, the grain, the livestock, belong to God and was to be given to and used by his priests, the Levites, the one-twelfth, a whole tribe. The tithes of the land, the fruit, the grain, and the livestock belonged to God, and their representatives were the Levites. This tithe was dedicated to the Lord. Second point is that the Levites were in turn to give one-tenth, or a tithe, of the tithe that they had received to the high priest and his family. So originally it was Aaron and his descendants and their households. So the high priest's family had a greater challenge, greater role in the priesthood, so they received a tenth of the tenth that the whole tribe got. The third point we want to come away with from the first commandments regarding tithing is that there was probably a second yearly tithe, a second tenth, was to be taken up and used specifically for festivals and feasts. This brought the community together. This was consumed by the tithers and the Levites before God. So this wasn't given to anyone. You first gave a tenth. If you were an Israelite back then during this time period, you owed 10% to the Levites. A second tenth, you were obligated to come together in feasts and festivals and consume it. Again, we're talking about fruit, grain, and livestock. Then the fourth point is a triannual tithe, which means every 3 years. There was a third tenth of the produce only, not the livestock, was to be put into storage facilities to take care of the Levites and those in need in the local vicinity. In other words, this would be like a food bank, that every 3 years it would be stocked so that those who were in need, they didn't go to the capital city. They didn't go to the big, huge centers. It was a local thing, that your local community, if you were in need, you would be taken care of by your local community. This was not dedicated to the Lord and was to be dispersed with generosity. It stayed in that area. Now, one of the things that's interesting is that when we depend on someone, when we are in need, and we depend on someone that is anonymous, it's easier to ask for more. But when people know, when you have to ask your neighbor, when you are eating on the gifts, when you're feeding your family on the gifts of your neighbor, it's much more personal. And odds are you're going to find a way to get out of that situation. In other words, if you've lost your job, it's real easy to go and get, the benefits, the government benefits, because all you need to do is fill out forms. These are complete strangers that are going to give you money. But if you had to go to your neighbor, who basically that's who really is paying it, and ask for $40 to put gas in your car, you're likely going to be more motivated to get another job pretty quick. So by keeping these storehouses local, it kept the community tied in to whatever other people, what was going on in each other's lives. So if somebody's field at harvest time gets hit by lightning and burned up, it's expected that the community's going to pitch in and take care of them. They didn't look to Jerusalem or the priests. It was coming from their neighbors. So looking at these above summaries of the tithes, 20% of your increase a year would be given off the top, with an additional 10% every third year to support the religious, governmental, and social structure of the day. Sounds like taxes that we do now. So there are the next point, the 6 points, there's 9 points we want to look at, just in summary. The sixth point is that some attribute the inconsistency in the accounts of these tithes to the two time periods in which they were written. When the tithes were to be given exclusively to the Levites, the Israelites were still wandering around in the desert. Because you got to remember, these books were written about a long period of time. You just look through at the history about what this was supposed to have covered, these five books. And you look at the order in which they were given to the Israelites. But then, so they were wandering around the desert, and that's when the first tithe was given only to the Levites. But after they entered their promised land, they became much more homebodies. They increased in population and needed other ways to not only take care of the Levites, but to ensure religious and social cohesion, community, through festivals, and social caretaking through legislated community welfare programs. So there was an effect. There was a reason behind these tithes. It was to ensure community cohesion, national identity, and to take care of the needy. It wasn't to please God alone, as far as, okay, this is what God's commanded us to do and we need to learn how to tithe. There was a practical reason to do these things. And so we see how effective they were in keeping the nation of Israel together and creating, and also as a whole, and also as increasing community cohesion. So you get both the national identity and the community reinforcement. So we'll pick it up there next Saturday. If you want to move ahead, the PDF for what we're going through is available at weekendprepare.org and also on the profile page on Blog Talk Radio. Hope this is helping. It's been great hearing from everyone. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas, Prepare Radio. Have a great weekend.